Wisconsin's U.S. senators held starkly different views on the Iran war, but they agree on this much about the administration's ceasefire deal. They don't like it. It's Thursday, June 18th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, Beloit schools are facing a budget crunch as a billionaire-funded charter school expands. And a native berry has fans who forage for it across the Midwest, even as most people have never tried one.
Dozens and dozens and dozens of service berry trees. This is the first year that they're really putting on lots and lots of fruit.
Stay with us.
When you're online, visit WPR.org. You'll find news headlines from WPR and NPR and feature stories about arts, culture, music, and politics. Explore our live audio streams, links to program information, or check out upcoming events in your area. WPR.org. We're not just on your radio.
President Donald Trump says a deal to end the war with Iran will be signed on Friday, but Wisconsin Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson say they don't like the outcome. The 60-day Memorandum of Understanding will give Iran access to $300 billion for reconstruction, drop economic sanctions, and end the U.S. naval blockade in the Straits of Hormuz. In exchange, Iran agrees to not develop nuclear weapons and allow oil tankers through the strait. During a press conference before the agreement was public, Baldwin, a Democrat, called it an illegal war of choice, started by Trump, and she's wary about the deal.
I take no solace in the idea that this president insists that we're on the verge of a 60-day pause or ceasefire to negotiate a final end.
In an interview Tuesday, Johnson, a Republican, said he did not like the final outcome of the deal.
I don't like the final outcome here. I'm sure President Trump doesn't like the outcome. He would have liked unconditional surrender. It didn't happen. The Iranian people weren't able to rise up.
Johnson previously called on the president to, quote, finish the job regarding the war. The Beloit School District is facing significant budget challenges. This comes as Beloit billionaire Diane Hendricks's public charter school is planning to double in size. The Lincoln Academy opened 5 years ago and serves about 700 students. Christy Cole heads the charter. She says the school wasn't planning to expand, but their wait list has grown to about 400 students.
The conversation was really just to develop a great school for children in the city who were in need of another option. And so that's what we've been focused on doing.
Over the last decade, Beloit Public Schools have seen a 40% decline in student enrollment. School officials say they'll have to cut nearly $14 million from their budget over the next 2 years. The district expects to lose about 300 students per year to Lincoln Academy once the expansion is complete. The Minocqua Brewing Company, led by liberal activist Kirk Bangstad, is suing the State Department of Revenue because the agency raided its tap rooms last week. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, Bangstad says his business is being targeted.
According to Bangstad, the agency seized about 1,200 cans of beer worth about $25,000 over a $500 tax bill. In the lawsuit, he's asked for an injunction to get the beer back and allow it to be sold again.
We're talking about $25,000 worth of fresh beer that might be sitting in the sun in a warehouse that's 80 degrees.
That's Bangstad discussing the situation on social media, where he also said he thinks the Tavern League, a powerful beer lobby, is secretly calling the shots. And he argued he's being targeted by Governor Tony Evers. A spokesperson for the governor said state agencies enforce state laws without regard to a person's political beliefs. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The city of Superior has joined a growing list of Wisconsin communities to pass a moratorium on data centers. The Superior City Council unanimously approved a one-year moratorium on Tuesday. The city isn't currently facing a data center proposal, but Google wants to build a massive complex in a nearby Duluth suburb. Superior resident Joe Stensland backed the moratorium.
we have a neighboring community dealing with this hot topic issue at this particular moment in time. It has to be thoroughly discussed. It has to be thoroughly researched.
Southridge resident Jeremy Lambert questioned the move.
It reads more like you want to ban and then do the research.
The moratorium will now be referred to Superior's Plan Commission. The group of city leaders and residents will come up with recommendations on potential zoning, utility, and land use regulations. Coming up after the break, you probably can't buy June berries at your grocery store, but there are people across the Midwest who hunt for them at this time of year. Stay with us.
When so much is happening in the world, who can you count on to tell you what really happened and why it matters? Old Fashioned Reporting, weekdays on Morning Edition from NPR News.
This month, a native berry is ready to pick throughout the Midwest. June berries, also called service berries or Saskatoon berries, have a sweet, nutty flavor, but most people have never tried them. Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports on a new push to get June berries onto plates.
Flourish Farm and Folk School sits on the bluffs of the Mississippi River outside of Alton, Illinois. Here, Crystal Moore Stevens and her family are growing something you won't find on most farms, a row of June berries.
When we first moved to this property, we invested in dozens and dozens and dozens of service berry trees. This is the first year that they're really putting on lots and lots of fruit.
Tonight, the Stevens are helping a friend in a pinch. Cindy Higgerson owns an artisanal jam company in St. Louis. She specializes in local, hard-to-find ingredients, including June berries. But this year, Higgerson's usual foraging spots didn't work out.
The storms just really knocked them all off the trees. When I went back, there were only a few, and there were like a million birds in the June berries.
So the Stevens family invited Higgerson out to the farm. Higgerson fills containers with the blueberry-sized maroon fruits and eats a few as she goes.
They taste like a combination of berries. I think with the seeds in there tasting sort of like almond, it almost gives it cherry, notes of cherry in there.
June berries or service berries are a native plant that grows throughout North America and goes by a lot of different names. They're adapted to the Midwest's extreme weather, and local wildlife love them. But the berries aren't just for the birds. People all over the region forage and eat them. And now there's a new push to get more onto farms. Bill Davison works on commercializing the service berry and similar crops at the Savannah Institute, a nonprofit that promotes sustainable agriculture.
It's a native shrub. It's highly nutritious. It tastes great. It can support regional food systems and diversified farming.
Davison says in Canada, there's a developed market for June berries. They're grown on large orchards and are even mechanically harvested. But the berries are rare on U.S. farms, and it can be hard for growers to make money with them. So most people are foraging the berries, even in cities like Chicago. Almost 3 miles of June berries line Chicago's Bloomingdale Trail, which attracts runners and cyclists. Bonnie Taz is a local nature educator and picks these berries.
Someone will stop and say, "Are you sure you can eat those?" And so it's a great moment, you know, a teachable moment, as we say, to just say, yes, you can eat them. They're delicious.
To celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the trail, Taz wrote Berries for Bloomingdale, the service berry cookbook. It has more than 20 recipes from baked goods to savory dishes. Back in St. Louis, jam maker Cindy Higgerson is preparing to follow her own recipe. She washes the berries she picked at Flourish Farm, plus the few she was able to forage this year.
I'm gonna do a little bit of jam math here.
She puts the berries in a pan, mashes them up, lets it simmer, then ladles it into 23 small jars. Finally, the lids of the jam jars begin to pop, meaning they're airtight and ready to sell. A few days later, Higgerson is putting them on her stand at St. Louis's popular Tower Grove Farmers Market. Before the market even starts, a shopper shows up for the Juneberry Jam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Soon, a steady stream of curious customers are visiting the tent.
Gotta make a jam decision.
I have Juneberry Jam this morning.
What is that? I've never even heard of a Juneberry.
Higgerson sells out in just 2 hours. She and other Juneberry fans hope even more people will get to taste this early summer delicacy soon. I'm Kate Grumke, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WPR. And now for a check of the forecast. Mostly cloudy early with patchy drizzle to the east and then breaks of sun by midday. Expect a small chance of showers late in the day, with highs expected in the mid-60s to 70s. And then tonight, isolated showers early and then clearing and chilly. Lows likely to reach in the mid-40s north and low 50s south. And then tomorrow, sunny to partly cloudy and mild, with highs expected to reach the low to mid-70s. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News on this Thursday. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Deneen Smith. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.